You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Micah Beckwith.
All right, today as we look at loneliness, we have we can see the heart it can bear being alone, but we can't bear being lonely. I want to separate that out here real quick. Alone is this. Alone literally is when we can feel it when there is no one. But it's not necessarily always bad. It's not necessarily that there's you can get into solitude. You can go and be by yourself, and it can be a very healthy season for you to do that. But hey, Bronson, it's on. Oh, hey, where are you going? It's working. I was like, where is he taking my TV? He got it working. Okay. All right. There we go. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Bronson. Give Bronson a hand. That's funny. All right. So we can feel it when there's no one. But lonely is a little different. We can feel lonely when everyone else is in the room. There are people right now that I promise you are in this room of about 350 people, give or take, and we can be still lonely. If you're not alone, if that's the case, I've been there. You might be there right now. You probably have all been there. There was a Harvard study that happened just a few years ago that dealt with the pandemic, the epidemic of loneliness, if you will. They found this in their study, that 1 in 3 people believe this. This is like, so again, look around you. And you've got 3 people just right around you. 1 of you 3 probably have thought this or maybe are thinking this right now. 1 in 3 people believe you have needs in your life and no one to meet them. You have needs in your life and no one to meet them. You're saying, I need help. Who do I go to? I need help. Where do I turn? There's nobody. 1 in 3 people are in that same boat right now as we speak. 1 in 3 people have hurts to share, but no one to listen to them. You might be there right now. I'm desperately in pain and I'm crying out. I'm longing for someone to sit and cry with me and to hear me. There's a funny video that went around a few years ago, and it was the nail in the head. This couple's talking, and it's a husband and wife, and she turns, and all of a sudden you can see she's like saying, "I've got this pain in my head and I don't know where it's coming from." And she turns and there's a nail sticking out of her head. And the husband's kind of like, "Well, if we just like pull the nail out." She's like, "You always do this. You always try to fix the problem. Just listen to me, right?" And he's like, "If we just take the nail out of your head," like, and she's like, "Don't do that. I just need to listen," right? That is so indicative of husband-wife relationships, right? We are saying, "Somebody just listen to me." Husbands, a lot of times, man, we just want to fix the situation. But then there are people who are saying, "I need somebody. And I got nobody. I want to share my pains and my struggles, but I don't even have anyone that will even be there to fix it if I need it or to listen if I need them." And I think it's the human condition. I think it's just who we are. You're gonna walk through this whether you want to or not. There's gonna be a season in your life that you're probably gonna be one of these people. And I've been there, and there are times that I still get there. And the last thing that they studied was this: you 1 in 3 people believe you have love to give, and no one to receive it. You wanna be a force for good. You wanna show somebody the love of Jesus, and you look around, there's nobody there, or you wanna love somebody, you wanna hold somebody in your arms, and there's nobody there. 1 in 3 people. That is crazy if you think about it, but it's not surprising in our culture. That's the human condition. But the human design is different than the human condition. Did you know that God never intended any one of us to be lonely? He never did. Let's go back to the beginning of time when God created the heavens and the earth. This is what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is all, you can't look at creation and say there is no God. Atheism is so easy to debunk because it's the watchmaker theory. If there is a complex watch design, there has to be a watchmaker who made that thing happen. You look at the complexity of our universe, there's got to be a designer. There's got to be a creator. There is no way, statistically, it's impossible that this just came to be by chance. Even scientists are now saying the universe had a beginning, and this is the beginning right here. God spoke. He brought time, space, and matter together, and he started it. And they also say if you could go to the very edge of the universe right now, we can't see it because we don't have a telescope that can see that far into the distance. But if you could go to the edge of the universe, they believe that the universe would be expanding. It's constantly creating. Why is that? Because when God spoke it out of his mouth, his word has not stopped creating. It's still creating moons and stars and galaxies. That's how awesome God's word is. But it came from God. It was all his design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the dry ground land and then gathered the waters and he called it sea. And God saw that it was good. Then the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Wow, you guys are smart. I love this. You got the coffee, the caffeine's in. You're way better than first service. Okay. Shoot. Okay, so I said that, and I was like, this is the online service. This is recorded for all the world. I'm kidding. First service, this is, you know, don't tune in to, you know. All right, well, I'm going to move on because I just made a lot of people that, all right, you guys are my favorite. All right, so, and God saw that it was good. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing, which are the waters, the teams that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Awesome. And then in verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kind. And then he said it was good. So you see the theme here. God is constantly creating, and then he's saying it's good. It's good. Right? This is the idea. Like, everything God was creating was good. Then we get to verse 25, and it says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God, now let me real quick, this is a small tangent. I just think it's really important to note. Because I've always said, why does God say it this way? Let us make mankind in our image. Well, many people, the scholars will say, hey, it's the Trinity talking to the Trinity. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you actually go to Psalm 82, there are other beings in Psalm 82 that lay out that also are image bearers of Christ too. It says that Elohim, God, the supreme God, like the Lord, sits in the assembly of Elohims, like gods, lower gods. And so there is this idea that God is saying, I'm sitting in a council, I've created other beings that bear my image, and I'm saying, hey, let us make image, we're going to make more beings in our image. And I think there's this aspect that we have to recognize. If you can study, there's a book called The Unseen Realm. It's super cool. It's Michael Heiser. Nathan and I have talked about it on the podcast. Very cool. Helps us see into the spiritual realm. That's a tangent. I don't want to go down that path right now, but I would love to. We'll probably talk about that or preach on that at some point. But it does help us bust out of the box sometimes when we start to look into the spiritual realm. Because I think we think, oh, the spiritual realm is just like a nice little, you know, clean box that we totally understand. I think there's a lot of things we don't understand, nor will we ever understand until we get to heaven someday. So, and I think that's okay. I think that's exciting. I love studying that. So whether it's the Trinity, he's speaking to the Trinity, that's fine, that's great. Or whether it's to the Elohims that are sitting in the assembly according to Psalm 82, and you can look it up, that's what it says right there in Psalm 82. That's the Hebrew, if you go and that's what it will say. So whether he's saying it to the Trinity or to the assembly, he's saying, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over the wild animals, over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image, in the image of God he created them. This is awesome. Now, out of all the things that have been created on earth, in this universe, we are the only image bearers. Like when you look around, animals don't bear the image of God. Fish don't bear the image of God. Trees don't bear the image of God. They point to an aspect of God. Okay, so let's be clear. Like, we should take care of creation because all of creation is declaring the glory of God. All of creation is pointing to some characteristic of God. But no other created being on this earth that we can see bears the image of God. That's why humanity, that's why we always stand for humanity and fight for humanity. That's why we always value life. whether from conception to natural death. Why? Because they're an image bearer. Did you know at the moment of conception, scientists have seen what happens when the sperm enters the egg. The moment of conception, there is a flash of light that happens. The very moment of conception. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's just an accident? No, that's the image of the invisible God getting stamped onto that human being. That's powerful, isn't it? Well, that's, give God glory. You know, we could go on we could talk about being pro-life. Why is it important to be pro-life? Because every single person bears the image of God. Yeah. From conception to natural death. We should always value this because we are image bearers. The Imago Dei is what the Greek is, or the Latin, that's the, it's that you are made in the image of God. But then the Lord God said, it is? Oh, good. See, first service did not get that, okay? I will give you credit. They all said good, and I was like, eh, false, wrong. The Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, keep in mind, this will blow your mind a little bit. If I'm blowing your mind on other aspects, I might as well just continue to, you know, we'll just go the whole way now. This is before the fall of man. This is before sin. God said something's not good before sin entered the world. Let that one, let's sit on that for a second, right? Okay, Lord, how does that happen? And you know what? I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. You know, Isaiah talks about, you know, the creation of evil and all this stuff. You could go and study that. We're not going to go down that tangent because you will be thoroughly confused by the time I'm done with this this message. But there's a lot of aspects about God that we can dive into. And we say, Lord, help us understand. Help us understand your ways. Help us know, you know, what does it mean not good before the fall? Well, that's what the scripture says. He saw something that was incomplete. And he said, I got to complete this. I can't let this just be because it would be bad if I just let it stay here. It was not good. So I will make a helper suitable from him. So then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So he put Adam in a deep sleep. He took a rib out of Adam. And I love this. He didn't take something out of Adam's head so that she would rule over him. He didn't take something out of Adam's feet that he would rule over her. He took something out of his side so that they could walk together, a helper, suitable. Like, you know, sometimes in Christianity, we've gotten this idea that somehow men are better than women or we're to rule over women. That is not the case, church. They're a helpmate to us. Man, we got to respect that. And then Adam looks at Eve, and he gets to name Eve, and he says this. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and you should be called. And here's how it went, no joke. He looked at her, and he's like, whoa, man. I promise you, that's exactly how it went. Now, man, you're laughing because you're like, yeah, that's probably what happened, right? You know? Keep in mind, there were no clothes at this point, all right? Way too much information. Sorry. All right. I know. I get that. But men are visual. And I think Adam would have just been like, oh, wow, this is good. You know, this is real good, Lord. Yes. Listen. Yeah. Brandon. Yeah. No. Like, come on. Let's keep it PG, buddy. All right. Let's like you started it, Pastor Micah. Yeah. but this is now the Lord completed it. It was not good that man were to be alone, so he created a helpmate and a good helpmate, and she was taken out of the man, and then together it was complete. Now, this is an aspect God doesn't want us to be alone. Why? Because God himself is never alone. Everything God creates, please understand this, everything God creates is some aspect of who he is. It's a characteristic of him, whether physically or whether emotionally or whether mentally. It is an aspect of what of something about God. God is modeling himself when he creates Eve for Adam. Why? Because Adam shouldn't be alone because God himself is not alone. Now, there's one point in history where this breaks, so I want to caveat that. What is the one time in history where God is not whole together as a Trinity? At the cross of Christ, yes. When the Bible says that the Father turned his back on the Son. You want to know why? Did you guys like the eclipse a few weeks ago? It was dark, eerie, right? Crazy. The world went dark for 3 hours when Jesus died. Do you want to know why that happened? It's because the world and all of creation had never experienced the Trinity not being in complete unity until that moment. It jacked everything up. Everything was like, what is happening? Time stood still, literally. What is happening? The Trinity is now not completely in communion together. And do you know why it happened? It happened because that's how much God loves you. He took on loneliness in the Trinity for that season so that we could have complete wholeness in him and never have to be lonely. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. But in unity, and from the time of creation, the Trinity has, even before creation, for all of eternity, the Trinity has always been in perfect unity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They've always been one. And so until that one time on the cross, there's complete unity. So, but God himself, the aspect and characteristic of the Trinity is, hey, we're never alone. We're always in perfect unity. So God created us in the image, not just the physical image, but also the emotional image of himself. Let's be together. He created us because he loves us. He created us because he wanted to show us love, and he wanted us to be able to show others. Matthew 22 says this, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" This is the Pharisees speaking to Jesus. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him to make a mistake, and they wanted to see if he could handle this pretty tough question. They're like, he's going to mess up, because if he says one, we all know that there's a lot of important laws, and we're going to try to get him to trip up on this question. And this is Jesus' response. He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind." So your emotions, your spirit, your mental, all the everything about you, go and love God with it. That's the first and the greatest commandment. But then he said, the second is equally important. So he almost kind of says, hey, you got to give them both equal amount of weight. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think sometimes when it comes to mental health, when it comes to this loneliness, anxiety, suicide, depression, all those things, we can do two things. We can forget that there's anything spiritual going on, but we can also over-spiritualize everything. And that's not good either. Sometimes I hear Christians say, well, all I need is Christ. All I need is God. It's like, well, that's true. Love the Lord your God with everything. But you also need people too, because it's equally important. You got to have loving neighbors, and you yourself need to love your neighbor. This is what Jesus says, not me. He's saying, hey, this is equally important. So you better connect. It'd be like me saying, hey, all I need is Jesus, therefore I'm never going to eat food ever again. You're like, well, you're going to die in about 2 months, Micah. Maybe 4 months, Micah. Like, you have a little bit more to work off there. But you need food, naturally. You need water, naturally. It'd be foolish for us to say we don't need something else. God has designed our bodies to need things. He designed our emotions and our spirit to also need things. Our spirit needs God, but our emotions need others. You got to have people in your life. And if you don't, you're going to be lonely. So why did God then, what did he do about that? Why did he gave Eve to Adam, but then he gave us the church. He gave us one another. And he allowed us to connect with the body of Christ. And when you connect with the body of Christ, then you're going to be feeling what Adam felt with Eve. Finally, yes, there's somebody here. I get this. Man, I can walk together with somebody. We can link arms together. Connectedness is important. But it's not just connectedness. It's more about emotional unity, not just physical proximity. And I think this is important, because sometimes you think, if I just go and get in the room, I'll be fine. I'll get that unity. I'll get that connectedness, that communion with one another. No, you could be a wallflower. You could sit in this room for 2 years and feel like nobody sees you or knows you. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we would be able to have the discernment as the body to come alongside of you. But you can be in a big crowd of people and feel totally unseen. I hear this story all the time. I've been there myself. Man, when you walk into that middle school lunchroom, like, and trust me, adults, we still go into the middle school lunchroom, whether it's at your new job, whether it's at a place where you don't know anybody. It's hard. It's scary. And you could walk into a huge crowded middle school lunchroom, and you could feel like nobody sees you. You could feel like you're not connecting with anybody, and you could feel the loneliest you've ever felt, and there is a hustle and bustle of crowd around you, and you're saying, this isn't good. Well, it's not good. God didn't design you for that. He designed you to connect emotionally with people. We have forgotten this, but I do think COVID helped us to remember this a little bit. And for all of the craziness and the destruction that COVID brought, I do think there was a silver lining where the Lord was waking us up a little bit. Now, I know we lost loved ones. I don't want to downplay that at all. I know it was hard. Maybe we lost your job. You had to fight for liberty. Whatever it is, it was not an easy season. But I do think in the season, God has helped us to remember how important it was to connect. How many churches shut down because they were afraid of a virus and then they gave themselves over to depression, anxiety, suicide? So many people got stuck in this loneliness that some of them never recovered from. And I think we've learned at Life Church, and I know Nathan said it and I will re-say it, we will never again do that.
Yeah!
So, or else Omar will beat us up. So, yeah, it's like, no, but I think that's true. We should have stayed open. The church should have always been there for people because the loneliness pandemic, that caused so many problems. I was talking to somebody literally in the highest levels of government just a couple days ago in our state. So they were in the high, they were in the meetings that happened behind closed doors that we all heard about in the press conferences. They were in there. And this gal was saying, I drank the Kool-Aid. I said we had to mask up, shut down, essential, non-essential. And she was telling me this, and she said, I am so ashamed that I did that. I see now how destructive it was. She had a loved one commit suicide because they sent him home, a young man in her family, sent him home, said, we're going to still pay you, but just go home. For 4 months. For 4 months was just locked in this house and ended up taking his own life. And she said, and then her dad passed away because they forced him to get this experimental drug. And you know, she's like, I can't say for certain that it was that, but he was fine until he got it. And then about 30 days later, he died. And so she's looking at all of these things. She's saying, what is happening? And she said, never again. And so I do think she realized, and I've realized, you've realized, I think we've all realized it, whether we want to be honest about it or not, that when we shut down and go into this social distance mode, which by itself is an anti-God term. Again, social distancing is so anti-God. Why? Because God showed us in the garden that he did not want Adam to be socially distanced from anyone. He made Eve. And so when we grabbed onto this ungodly, even though it was in good intent, I'm not saying people who ran with the social distance stuff were bad people. I'm just saying that we took a lie. It sounded so right. It sounded, oh man, this has got to be good because we want to love our neighbor, so we got to stay away from our neighbor. It's like the devil said, did God really say that social distancing is wrong? Did God really say you don't really need community? You might be able to get community this way over there. I know God said it this way, but did God really mean it that way? See, he's been doing that since the Garden of Eden. Did God really say if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die? No, that's probably not what he meant. You know, you're probably fine doing that. Boy, that is the oldest trick in the book. And yet, we forgot it. We ran away from it. And now we're all sitting back saying, oh, dear Lord, what have we done? But, praise God, he's merciful. And I think we've learned. I think it'll probably happen again. Like, there's going to be the time where they're going to say, church, you can't gather for one reason or another. But I'm excited because I think we've learned our lesson. Now, we'll see. I've already thought that going into it, too. Oh, the church would never do that, right? But I do think that was the setup for what's to come. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying that to say, hey, praise God. Like, I think he's helping us take the training wheels off a little bit and to actually be the church in crazy, scary times. So we forgot it. COVID has helped us, I think, to remember it. That was the silver lining. We like to observe without the real intention and avoid intimacy. I mean, this is social media to a T, isn't it? Is it not? This is social media to a T. We like to look at everyone else. We like to watch the things in someone else's life. But boy, if you ask me to go and hang out with that person, I'm like, nah, I don't have time. No, I don't want to do that. Nah, they wouldn't want me to. All the excuses start coming out. You know, we're in some ways the most connected we've ever been to one another. And in other ways, we are the most disconnected we've ever been to one another. It's such an odd time to be alive. But we have to remember as the church, this phone, this social media experience That's not life. We love our online community, so please hear me. If you're watching online, welcome. And I know there are people who can't make it for one reason or another to the actual gathering. But let me tell you this, if you're watching online, let me tell you that we are actually encouraging you to find community outside of just this online presence. You have to do it. Find friends in your neighborhood. Find another church. If you're watching from another state, reach out to us. We'll help you find churches that are in your area because you have to connect with one another physically. The Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. And we were told many, many times over that, oh, you know, we can do online services and it'll be fine. We can shut down the church and we can do online services. I've not heard one pastor who was saying that in 2020 that actually still believes that that was a good thing. Any of the pastors that were doing online community, even if it was okay, they would say, oh, it was not good. It would be like trying to live your life on vitamins alone with no food. I take my vitamins. I hope you do too. We should. Like, it's a supplement. I watch a lot of online messages. You should too. It's great. It's a supplement. But it is not the sustenance that you need. So please hear me. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us. But we want to help you find community, whether you get into the doors of the church or whether you find another church in your area. We'll help you. Just get in community. This generation is suffering in connection for the sake of convenience. It's way easier to stay online. It's way easier to sit in your homes and never get out. It's way easier to look from a distance. It takes work. It takes work to connect, church. It's not easy. Sometimes someone will call me up and it's the last thing I have time for that day, but they need someone to sit with them and to hear them and I do it. And then I'm always praising God afterwards because it always goes well. But boy, it's like walking into the gym. Where are the Anytime Fitness people in here? Okay, Anytime Fitness, thank you. All right, guys, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize right now. I think I've been a member now for, because it's like Dave and Elijah and all these big guys, Brandon, they're all like, you know, Rich. Where's Rich? Is Rich in here? You know, they're all ripped. Yeah, there's Rich back there. And they're like, you got to come to Anytime Fitness. And I'm like, okay, I want to get big and ripped too. And so I think I've gone like 3 or 4 times since I've had it. So two? No, I've gone 3. How do you know? You're not there anyway when I go. I try to go when you're not there.
We've got...
Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the hardest part to get to the gym is just to get to the gym. Once you're in the gym, it goes fine. You're like, okay, I'm here. I can start working out. The hardest part of connecting is just to get yourself into the place where you can start connecting. That's the hardest part. But then it gets easier as you do it, you know, and if you've ever been to the gym, it just gets easier. You get in that routine. It's like, you know, hey, I'm going to church on Sunday because I love my church family. Well, why do you love your church family? Because you just started coming one day, one way or the other. You got to know people. It was probably hard that first day, but it gets easier and easier and easier. And now you're here and you're coming. And you're saying, man, this is awesome. I love being here. It's the same way with the gym. It's the same way if you want to connect anywhere. You got to just take that first step. They always say, in anything, whether it's business or politics or family, 90% of being good at those things is just showing up. 90% of connectedness is just showing up. There's another 10% you're going to have to take, but you just got to get there. So thank you for getting here. Thank you for being someone that shows up. That's important. That's important. Craig Groeschel. This is funny because Craig Groeschel is a pastor of Life Church, but not this Life Church, all right? So if you know Life Church out in Oklahoma... But this is a good quote. We wanted to use this. People are intentionally pursuing a life that destroys their mental health and robs them of real joy and lasting fulfillment. That's what Craig Groeschel said. And I think he's spot on. In this culture, we are pursuing all the wrong things. And we know we are. And I think if we're honest with each other, we're like, this is, yeah, I get it. I should probably not work so much. I should probably not look at my phone so much. I should probably not do this so much. But I do it anyway. And then we wonder, where's the joy? Where's the lasting fulfillment? One of my life words just in general is just discipline. I'm like, Lord, I just want more discipline. And there are seasons in my life where I have a lot of discipline. And there are seasons in my life where I don't have a lot of discipline. And I'm trying to just be more disciplined. Because I think, I know that I'm pursuing things that actually hurt my mental health and robs me of my joy. I just don't do this. I just do the things that I know I shouldn't do. It's like a dog. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. So a sinner back unto his folly. It's like, I know this. And Paul says this. And I love it. I thank God for Paul because, You can look at Paul, and he is very honest about his faults. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. It's this battle between spirit and flesh. So church, sometimes with loneliness, we just got to discipline ourselves and get our butts moving. We've got to go up and shake hands with someone. I love what Stacy said. Don't let the introverts get out of here before you shake hands at the little meet and greet time, right? Hurry up, extroverts, find those introverts and give them a hug, you know? And so in introverts, you know, it's like sometimes you just need an extrovert to grab you and hug you to start that conversation. And extroverts, sometimes you need an introvert to teach you how to listen a little bit more and not monopolize the conversation. But it takes us connecting in order to do that. So here at Life Church, this is our mission statement. Okay, this is connect to grow is one of the aspects of our mission statement. Before I do that, can anyone tell me the four steps that we have in our mission statement at Life Church? Oh, someone's out there. I thought that was, I heard. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, you're right. Okay, first one is come to life. Then we have number two, which is connect to grow, which I just showed you. Then we have find your purpose, and then the last one is go out and make a difference. So these are the four steps. Now we're going to look at this one here today as we kind of, you know, get to the end of the message here. But connect to grow. So, but first you got to know who you are in Christ. First you got to, and I think this is both true spiritually and physically. You got to come to life in Christ Jesus, but you also got to come to Life Church, right? You got to come to actually connect. Spiritually and physically. So come to Life Church. Come to life in Christ. And then you're going to move into this next step, connecting to grow, which is then going to help you find what God made you for. And then you're going to be able to go out and make a difference. If you do these simple steps, you're probably going to live a life that's very fulfilling, that's not lonely, that doesn't have a lot of stress or anxiety, or if it does, you're able to overcome it. So this is really, I think, an awesome mission statement. But so often we don't do one of these. Like we don't come to life in Christ, or we don't come to Life Church. We don't connect. Leads to a failure there. Then we never really find what life's purpose is. How many times in those old, you remember those old those cartoons where someone would climb this mountain, and there would be like this guru Sherpa guy sitting at the top of the mountain, and they're always like, "I would like to know the meaning of life." And the Sherpa begins to speak. The meaning of life is, and then it's like the end, and it's like, you know, it's. If you guys remember that, that's what I feel like a lot of people in our culture are. They're struggling to find the meaning of life. They get to a place where they think they found it, and then they realize it just falls out from underneath them, and it's not really the meaning of life. Well, then anxiety sets in, because if you don't have a purpose in life, what are you living for? Right? If you don't know where you're going to be 10,000 years from now, then what's the point of today? I mean, I don't know how people who don't know Jesus get up every morning. It would just, I could see how depression, anxiety, fear, purposelessness sets in. And it would be crippling if it were not for my Savior, Jesus, who has said, I've made you this way, Micah, and I want you to do this in these short years you have on earth. And then 10,000 years from now, we'll be celebrating the work that was accomplished through me. This is Jesus talking to me. Through me, your Savior, Micah, we will celebrate that. That gives me purpose. But if you don't have that, I get it. It would be hard. Life would not be any fun to live. But with Christ, when you're doing all these things, it's like now you got this perspective where it's like, this is awesome. Yeah, okay, it's not easy. In the world, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. Right? So in the world, you're going to have many troubles, but take heart. Take encouragement. Take excitement, take potential and possibilities and fulfillment, take heart. I have overcome this, and you're going to have a wild time. It's like that meme where you got the mom and the son riding this roller coaster, and it says Holy Spirit and me, and the Holy Spirit is the picture of the mom, and she's got her hands up, loving it, and there's this little kid who's like holding on to, you know, his mom, and it says like, this is me and my relationship with the Holy Spirit, like, oh my gosh, help me, Lord. I know this is supposed to be exciting, but it's a little scary at times. It's a little scary at times. But it will be exciting, and you'll find purpose, and you'll make a difference. So at Life Church, we do what we call life groups. We're not a church of life groups, or we're not a church with life groups, we're a church of life groups. We want you to connect one-on-one, or in a small group, like one on 10, like having 10 to 15 people in your life group, but they're Jesus-honoring life groups. It could be all kinds of groups. It could be groups that are centered around studying God's word. It could be groups that just are, you know, doing something fun together, playing golf, hanging out, coffee house life group, where you're just sitting down and talk with people around coffee, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of life groups. But there are three things in our life groups we really want you to understand. The three aspects of our life groups are, one, it's going to be a place of grace. You're going to gather. What is grace? Grace means unmerited favor. It's going to be a place where people show you grace. They're going to give you favor that you don't really deserve. Now, if you're like any one of us, we don't deserve favor from anyone, and certainly not from God. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. But yet God shows us unmerited favor. Therefore, we should show one another unmerited favor. If you come into this place on a Sunday morning, we want you to feel grace. We want you to feel love, unmerited favor. I don't know you, but boy, I want to love on you. I want to shake your hand. I want to show you something that maybe God is laying on my heart to speak to you about. Unmerited favor is grace. Philippians says this in chapter 1, verse 7, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news." This is Paul talking to the church in Philippi. He's saying, you know, I love you guys. You're a community of grace, both to me and I to you. And we share in all of this together. And when you come to connect in a life group, hopefully what that leads to, that grace, it leads to feeling safe. You can be vulnerable. You can say, hey, I've been struggling with this. If you're not vulnerable with the church, with your family and friends, you're probably not going to actually heal, which then takes us to point number two. Our life groups, our community, our large church gathering or small church gatherings is a place of healing. We want you to heal from whatever it is the world has beat you over the head with. You're going to get hurt in the world. But when you come to a place of connectedness within the body of Christ, this is what James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other, so that, okay, so this is, okay, you have problems, you have pain, you have heartache. Okay, well, here's the solution. Confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. Do you need healing today? Do you need healing from anxiety, fear, stress, loneliness, depression, whatever it might be? Well, maybe there's sin in your life that's getting in the way. Do you need physical healing? This also applies to physical healing. The Lord doesn't caveat it and say, well, this is just spiritual or emotional. If you just need healing, confess your sins one to another, so that you can be healed. And I know you'll be like, well, Pastor Micah, I thought we confess sins to God for forgiveness. Yes, you do. You confess your sins to God so that you can have forgiveness. But you confess, according to James, your sin to people so that you can have healing. That's how it works. God gives us forgiveness. I can't forgive your sins. You can't forgive mine. But boy, you can help me in the healing process so well. And I can help you, but we've got to come and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. Boy, that's hard. But try this next time you're in a place, maybe a life group. If you feel like the Lord is laying on your heart to confess your sins one to another, just start it. Maybe you don't have to go as deep as maybe you're going to go, but just say, hey, guys, I'm really kind of struggling with this or whatever it might be. I promise you, it will like open up a floodgate. People will just be like, bing, 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 bing. I'm struggling with the same thing. Oh, I'm struggling with that, but I'm also struggling with this, which then leads to other people saying, I'm struggling with this. And by the end, there is just this weight that has been lifted off the entire group because you're like, oh, praise God, I'm not alone. Yeah. And then you can start holding each other accountable. You can start praying for one another specifically, which then leads us into our mission. The third thing about our life groups is we want to be a missional church. We want to be a missional life group. We want to make sure that everything we do is pointing to healing and getting people into the arms of Christ and the arms of the community so they can find their purpose. This is what God's word says in Acts of the Apostles, in the book of Acts. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And they did it all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. That's what the church should look like. Okay, so this is what, if our church doesn't look like this, then we're doing something wrong. We got to meet, worship together. Okay, we should open up our homes. We should share meals together with joy and generosity, and we should passionately praise Jesus, praise God. And you're going to experience goodwill of the people. This is the litmus test for, is this church being the church of in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? And this is what happens when they did this. Check it out. And each day the Lord added to their numbers, to their fellowship. That's the mission. How do we get people to come to know the Lord? We just got to love one another. They will know you by your love, right? They will know you by your love for one another. And so for me, I look at it and I say, okay, like, Lord, if we're not growing, we're not doing something right. If I'm not growing spiritually, I'm not doing something right. Something alive grows, right? If our numbers aren't growing, we gotta stop and actually say, are we doing this? Now, praise God, here at Life Church, we've grown a lot in the last 3 years. And I think it's because of two things. I think it's because of this. We gather together. We joyfully love each other. We generously give. But I think the other aspect, too, is we boldly tell people the word. Right? We don't back down. We say, God, this is what God says, guys. And he loves you, but here's the truth. And the lies of the world get shattered when the truth of God comes in. That's the mission that we're on right now, which then gives us our purpose, gives us the fulfillment of knowing we're doing something awesome for the Lord. We are missional in what we do, and we can't do it alone. So you want to be on mission, you want to find purpose, you got to do it together. That's what church is all about. Loneliness will flee so fast when you just step into the body of Christ. And just like the gym, I'm going to do a better job getting the gym, I promise. Sort of. So I got to just get there. You just got to get there. Just take that first step into the community and watch loneliness go by the wayside. Watch the Lord just shatter that lonely feeling that you're that you've been struggling with for some time. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Just a few verses before, in Galatians 5:1, it's one of my favorite verses. It said, it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. So you are set free, but here's the deal. You got to use that freedom to serve one another. Don't just say, great, I got my get out of hell free card, and now I'm going to wait for heaven someday. No, you got a purpose. 1 Peter says this, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Well, that's convicting, right? Are you a cheerful giver of your things? Are you generously saying, hey, Lord, it's all yours. If you want me to do something with it, I'm going to do it. Ephesians 4, instead, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So when someone shares their sin, confesses one to another, when they bring you something, they say, hey, I've offended you, I've sinned against you. Well, then we say, okay, great, thank you. We're going to forgive you. And I've done the same to you. Will you forgive me? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And then Galatians says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, you will be obeying the law of Christ. The secret to letting go of loneliness, guys, this is it right here. Just circle in your notes. The secret is being together. Being together. I know that may sound elementary, but I think we forget it often. It's like, okay, well, I'm in a big group of people, but I still feel lonely. No, together is connecting with one another, opening up to one another, being vulnerable with one another. When we do that and we get out of our world and love somebody the way God loves you, you will see loneliness just go by the wayside. Church, that's what being in the church is all about. Mental health is an issue, but mental health without the Word of God, we're always gonna have problems. We'll never fix it. But with the Word of God, we'll be able to address, we'll be able to tackle and to be set free with the power of the love of Christ because it's being shown to us through the body of Jesus.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.